So today, I want to share a story about my garden. 네. Real my garden. So like many of you, I spend time each week trying to keep my yard looking good. So I just talked with Marty before the worship service. So he has some couple of plants. And then I think he's really good to care and farm some yard.
Can I check my
mic? Really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so I just talked with Marty about the garden. So, Jerry, how about your dad for gardening and farming?
Hmm?
Your dad?
It's his pastime and he's. Every house we've been to, he's had a garden.
All right. So
it's
you,
what he does.
Okay, so you help him?
When I was a kid.
You're not a kid anymore right now, right? All right. So this is my real garden. Ah, looks busy, right? I mow the grass and trim the trees. And yes, I pull weeds. So, Marty, you weed killer? You weed killers?
Sometimes.
Not? Sometimes, yeah. I always let them go to grow. And then one day, I just cut everything. But here's the thing about weeds. Sometimes it's hard to tell what's a weed and what's not. What I might call a weed, my neighbor from another culture might call a beautiful flower or even food for their family. This brings us to today's parable from Jesus about wheat and weeds growing together. Jesus told his followers about the farmer who planted good seeds in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, an enemy came and scattered weed seeds among the wheat. When both plants started growing, the farm workers noticed the problem. "Should we pull up all the weeds?" they asked their master. "No," the wise farmer replied. "If you try to pull up the weeds now, you might accidentally pull up the good weed too. Let them both grow together until harvest time. Then we can separate them properly." This parable carries a powerful message about the end times, what theologians call eschatology. Jesus is telling us that there will be a final harvest, a day when God will make all things right. The wheat will be gathered into God's kingdom, and everything that causes harm will be removed. But here's the key. The final judgment belongs to God alone, not to us. We live in the in-between time after Jesus has planted the good seed of his kingdom, but before the final harvest comes. This eschatological perspective changes how we approach intercultural neighboring. In our world today, especially in our diverse communities, this parable speaks directly to how we live as neighbors with people from different backgrounds, cultures, and beliefs. Sometimes we look at others and think, "They are different from me. They don't do things the way I do. Maybe they don't belong here." But Jesus is teaching us something important. We are all growing together in God's field. And it's not our job to decide who belongs and who doesn't. Just like my dandelion story I told last Thursday, right? What one culture sees as we read, another sees as a flower or medicine. In Korea, dandelions sometimes are valued flowers used for tea and food. This is a real product. It said in Korean, mindele cha. Mindele means dandelion, cha means tea. Absolutely, dandelion tea. But in Australia, they are often seen as weeds to be removed. The same plant, but viewed so differently. This is exactly what happens when we meet people from other cultures. Their ways of cooking, worshiping, celebrating, or even speaking might seem strange to us. But that doesn't make them wrong, just different. When we try to be the weeder in God's garden, we risk pulling up something beautiful and valuable. We might hurt people who are actually bringing gifts to our community. So we don't have to judge who belongs. Everyone in our neighborhood is there for a reason. Our job is not to decide who should stay or go, but to learn how to live together well. We can celebrate our differences. Just as a garden is more beautiful with many types of flowers, our communities are richer with many cultures, languages, and traditions. We focus on growing good fruit in our own lives, instead of worrying about what others are doing wrong. We can work on showing love, kindness, and welcome to everyone around us. So how do we live this out practically? This is just my suggestions. First, approach others with curiosity, not judgment. When you meet someone from a different culture, ask questions. Learn about their traditions, their food, their celebrations. You might discover something wonderful. Second, look for common ground. Despite our differences, most people want the same basic things. Safety for their families, good education for their children, meaningful work, and friendship. We can start here. And third one, be patient with misunderstanding. Language barriers and cultural differences can lead to confusion. When this happens, assume good intentions and work together to understand each other. When I was in my home congregation, Surrey Hills United Church, I said to a member, Anglo member, I said in English, "Oh, you have a so small head." Babe, guess what does it mean? I said to someone, "You have a so small head."
Small head.
Yeah.
Oh.
What does it mean?
Jam full of brains.
Okay, all right. Okay, Jackie, what do you think? What does it mean? Small head. What, small face? Small head?
Richard? Small brain.
Small brain. All right, so Ina, what does it mean? What do you think? May
like a compliment.
Compliment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you might be telling pastor that your head doesn't belong to your body.
All right. Okay, Miho. So, what do you think? What does it mean, small head? You have no idea. I thought you got it because you're Japanese. So, usually in Korea, if someone told me, so Mike, you have a so small head or small face, that is really good meaning. You are so handsome, you are so beautiful. Yeah. But in here, when I sat with the Anglo member in Story Hills, I think she looked like I have a small brain. Am I stupid? She looks really upset and confused. So, but it's, yeah, I really mistook, being mistook, because I could speak in English, but I don't know English expressions, how to say you're beautiful. So just I use Korean expression in English. So, but on the street in Korea, Seoul, if someone told you, oh, you have a big head, that means insulting you, so you can hit them. So in Korea, small head, small face, that means, oh, you're beautiful, you're handsome. But in here, I think that's not a good idea to say. All right, this is our difference. Sometimes it makes us confused, right? But we can ask them, oh, okay, so why are you telling me like that? And then he may answer, oh, I think you are so beautiful, or you are so handsome. So we can make, we can have solution about that. And fourth, okay, we third and fourth, stand against real injustice. The parable doesn't mean we ignore genuine wrongdoing, but we must be careful to distinguish between different and wrong. We are not building a perfect world right now. We are living faithfully while we wait for God's perfect kingdom. We can have patience with imperfection. Our multicultural communities won't be perfect. There will be misunderstandings, conflicts, and challenges, but we keep working toward God's vision of all nations and peoples coming together. So we live with hope. Even when we see prejudice, racism, or cultural tension, we know that God's final word is love and unity. This hope keeps us going when intercultural relationships get difficult. We focus on faithfulness, not outcomes. We can't force perfect harmony between cultures, but we can be faithful neighbors who show God's love to everyone around us. So Jesus reminds us that there will be a final sorting, but that's God's job, not ours. Until then, we grow together, learn from each other, and show God's love to everyone in our community, trusting that God is working toward a future where every tribe, tongue, and nation will worship together. This Intercultural Neighboring Sunday, let's commit to being good neighbors to people from every background. Let's create communities where everyone can grow and flourish, bringing their unique gifts to our shared life together as we wait for God's promised future. Mati, you have a small head. Let us pray. Loving God, help us see our neighbors through your eyes. Give us wisdom to celebrate the beautiful diversity you've placed in our communities Help us be slow to judge and quick to welcome. May our neighborhoods become places where people from every culture can experience your love through our actions. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.